Blog Talk Radio.
Show, my second show. It's called Taken, Why Me, The Unexplained. It's part two. Hope y'all can hear me out there. I'm just going to keep doing shows. I basically got into the field. I'm going to talk a little bit in my discussion topics about myself, about who I am. I'm going to talk about one of the big controversial issues, which I just had a run-in with someone about 2 weeks ago, you know, not on this exact subject, but gods versus alien. You know, can you believe in extraterrestrials and God? Some people say, there are ufologists that say, yeah, you can. I have a friend that she believes in God and she believes in other life. And I have some people that say, there ain't no way. You know, the Bible is the word and this is what it is. And if you don't believe it, if you don't confess in your heart and, you know, if you don't like believe in your heart and confess at your mouth, you're going to hell. So I'm going to go into that a little bit. I'm going to talk about, because a lot of naysayers bring up all the issues that can easily be explained away, you know, but like, I'm going to get into Frederick Fledick, the Australian pilot. He's never been found. He's disappeared. He's gone. But, you know, I mean, people don't think about him, you know, like the Falcon Lake incident with Stephen Mikulak that got burned from what he believes he saw a craft. They up until he died, they were never able to explain the cause of his burns. They believe they were like chemical burns from the inside out. And, you know, I'm going to go into that a little bit. I'm going to go into some of my own experiences. That's why I got into this. I consider myself like a Bud Hopkins. You know, I've kind of just dove into this field because of my own experiences and things that have happened to me. And just, I guess I want answers and, you know, I guess that's why I do this show, and I talk to anyone, whether they're military or policemen or anyone that is willing to talk about, you know, what they know, what they've seen, and try to get their you know, answers to see if they can tell me what's going on or what's happened. And for me, you know, I've talked to people on secure telephone calls. You know, I even heard from a military person that said, you know, off the record, the U.S. government doesn't deny the existence of UFOs. They just don't believe they pose a threat. That's why they don't bring it out. I'm going to go into that a little bit. And I'm basically going to be starting first off by talking about some of my own experiences so that you can get to know who I am. My name is Kyle. I was brought up in the Midwest, brought up in a family, brought up to believe in God and Catholic and all that hunky-dory stuff. And I guess, while I think about it, if anyone is interested in calling in, you can call in. The call-in number is 1-914-338-0566 is the call-in number. But basically, getting back to me, I basically was brought up Catholic, and like I say many times, UFO stands for unidentified flying object. It does not mean that there is a alien craft. If you see a military airplane in the air that you cannot identify, it's an unidentified flying object. So I always like to get that out there because I don't believe that every person that claims they've been abducted or claims they've seen UFO has. I mean, I'm sure there's things that I have seen that may not have been, but I've seen things that defy my knowledge of physics. And okay, well, I would deem that would be virtually impossible with my knowledge of physics and what I would deem acceptable or what could really happen. I mean, back when I was real, when I was like 4 and 5 and I saw like a metal object that floated through the sky, I didn't sit there and say, oh, wow, look, a UFO. I didn't know what it was. I just mesmerized. And when I saw other craft and other dish-shaped objects, I guess a lady from Unsolved Mysteries kind of said it best. You know, I run to the phone to call the police, and what do I tell them? That I see a UFO, they're going to laugh at me. I mean, it's just one of those things that I've had a couple, I know of at least 3, but possibly more, missing time experiences. I mean, there's one instance, this is a new one I'm going to talk about. I was at my girlfriend's house, and we're just sitting there having fun. I was in high school hanging out with her, and I left her house and went to the stop. There's a stop sign, like, right out past her house. She lived out in the county, and I drove from there all the way home. And right before you get home, there's a little, like, American Legion kind of place called the 48, where you can play bingo and all kinds of stuff. And when I got to the 48, I realized that there was probably 2 miles of my ride home that I have no recollection of, that I don't remember. I remember being at the stop sign, and I don't remember anything until I got to the 48. And when I got home, my trip was a little bit longer than normal, and I called my girlfriend. She's like, well, why didn't you call me? And I'm like, I just got home. She goes, what do you mean you just got home? I said, you know, and I told her that, you know, I remember this stop sign right past you, right after leaving your house. And then I don't remember anything until the 48, and it's just a block of time that I don't remember, and I can't recall. I'll talk about my first instance that I talked about on my last show, where I was at my friend's, and we used to hang out and get beer and just watch Sports Center and stuff like that. And I went to the local VP. It should have been a 5-minute trip, you know, probably 20 minutes realistically. And I'll go get the beer, I'll be right back. And I went to the store and got the beer and came back. And when I came back, my buddy's like, where have you freaking been? I'm like, what are you talking about, man? I just went to the store, got beer, and came back. And they go, no, where have you been? I said, what do you mean, where have I been? I just went to the store, got beer, and came back. And they said, dude, it's been 4.5 hours. And they thought maybe I went and got mushrooms, or I got weed, or I got laid, or something like that. And I'm like, I just went and got beer and came back. What are you talking about? It's been 4.5 hours. I'm like, okay, I thought they switched the clocks on me. I thought they were messing with me. I thought we used to mess around with the people. I mean, we used to do almost like jackass stuff, like stupid things to mess around with people. And I thought that's what they did to me. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I just went and got beer and came back. And they said, no, where have you been? We almost called the police. It's been 4.5 hours. I'm like, oh, you're playing with me. I'm going to go out to my car. The clock on my car is going to show 20 minutes had passed, and I'm going to show you that you guys are just playing a joke on me. And I went out to my car, and my car showed about 4.5 hours difference from when I left. And I guess Bud Hopkins said it best, and I guess I agree with him. It's, you know, the abduction phenomenon is time as continuous, but the 15 or 20 minute trip is an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I have no, I mean, I would love to go into some sort of like hypnotic regression to try to find out what happened. I mean, it's just, I don't know what happened. I just know that there was another block of time, the thing that I can't account for and I can't explain for. Excuse me. But it's just one of those things that I can't explain, and I guess that's kind of the reason why I looked into this phenomenon, because of my own experiences. I mean, like there's a lot of instances that the naysayers, like Frederick Valletic, if you don't know who Frederick Valletic is, he was a pilot that was basically flying over in Australia from over Bass Strait from King Island to Cape Otway, and he disappeared. And not many people, I mean, this is one that he is gone. To this day, they have not found him. They know nothing. They do not know where he is. He has completely, utterly disappeared from this planet. They had a flotilla of search vessels when he crashed flying over Bass Strait, and they never found him. And it's something that you can't sit there and say, okay, well, explain him away. He basically, some of his original transcripts that he had were basically deleted. I don't know if it was all the transcripts or part of them, but at least some of the original transcripts of that recording were deleted. And his final final words that he said over the airways was it was hovering and it is not an aircraft, and there was an unidentifiable clicking noise that lasted 17 seconds and he's disappeared. You know, and I bring that up to people that are naysayers that, oh, well, if you believe in, and that's another thing. When I talk about God versus religion, you know, I've met a guy that my friend is getting his house built. He's a Habitat for Humanities person. He got his house built. And this guy's like, you know, if you confess out your mouth and believe in your heart, you're going to go to heaven and all this. And I said, I go where I go when I die. And he's one of those people that aliens and UFOs are Satan. And it's their way of getting you away from God and all this. And I'm like, okay, well, explain Frederick the Poetic. He's disappeared. They had a flotilla of search vessels over Bass Strait and no sign of a crash plane or nothing. You can't explain him away. He's gone. He has not returned. And it's just one of those many instances that I talk about that basically you cannot explain away. So I just don't understand people that like can't believe in ghosts or can't believe in other phenomena. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I'm also going to talk now about one of the big things that I get into is Roswell and why all this stuff, why it was all covered up. Basically, when you talk about Roswell, not many people, I've had so many people, I've seen so many specials recently where they talk about 20 crash sites and 50 crash sites and all this, and everything in the world, they have a new military book out that tries to explain that it was German spying this and all this, and they try to explain it away, but, you know, but when you think about why they covered it up, you know, Roswell was the 409th bomb unit. They were the best of the military's best. You know, William Blanchard and those guys and Jess Marshall were the best the military had. They didn't sit there and they weren't dummies. And you got to think about why they covered it up. I mean, what could they have possibly told the public? You know, it would have been totally irresponsible for them to sit there and say, hey, we found that unidentified craft with beings. There's nothing we can do to prevent them from coming here. There's nothing we can do to stop them. We can't protect you, but we thought we'd let you know. For that group of people at that time, that would have been totally irresponsible. And I think that's why the cover-up still goes today. I mean, if they cannot protect us, the American people, there would be some panic. I mean, I guess even if they came out and said, okay, yes, I am so-and-so from the military government, I'm a general, and I'm going to say that for 55 years we've known about aliens, it would probably be like when someone dies, it would settle in. I mean, I'd probably freak out for a little bit just because of the finally settling in, you know, like when you have someone die and you're not that sad, and then when it finally kicks in, yeah, he's really gone, you know, it probably hit me just like a lot of people, and you wonder if there would be mass panic. You know, plus it would make confusion with religion. I mean, okay, we know that aliens exist and God exists. Are we going to have to rewrite history with the Bible? I mean, that's a lot of people claim that's what they tried to do when they brought out information about Rock 84001, the Martian meteor, that it basically showed fossilized remains of microorganisms that were microns smaller. And, you know, they said it in a way that, well, this doesn't really prove that life came from other planets, but it gives us some ideas that it potentially could have happened. You know, and some people say that, I talked to a guy that said that he believes that that's smoking gun proof, but they don't say that because they don't want to sit there and have to, okay, well, all these people that believe in God and believe that, poof, here came the earth and here came all the animals and all this, you know, I would have to rewrite their whole thinking, but, you know, in the 1600s, you would have been crucified and killed if you did not believe that the Earth was the center of our universe. Now we know that to be false. But back then, you know, that was considered basically something that you would have been killed for. And I guess when I'm talking about religion, there's so many people that don't, they've never seen God, they've never seen, you know, Jesus, they've never seen things, but they still believe. But when it comes to aliens or UFOs, that's what they have to believe. That's what they have to believe. They have to, I mean, and I've met people that you could put an alien on the news with a spacecraft and they would not believe. You could have the alien come up and shake that guy's hand and he'd All right, get out of the rubber suit. Come on now. Is this a robot? You know, this made in Japan? You know, let me see the electronics. I would never believe you. And it just, so, I mean, I just kind of looked into this because of my own experience, and I just try to talk about what I've seen and things that have happened to me. And it's kind of like a comfort, just to come out and say, hey, man, I've had this experience. It's okay. Don't feel sheltered like, oh, if they wouldn't ridicule me, go ahead. Say what you want about me. This happened. I know it's happened, and I'm speaking out about it. I mean, like another naysayer that people have, I've never heard anything said about Phil Schneider. No one's, I've never heard one person try to dispute Phil Schneider and his claims. If you don't know, he was a guy that was basically one of three people to survive a famous underground fight with gray aliens. And he had hands that were disformed and stuff that were supposedly from the events that happened. And I wish he could have stayed alive because, like, I've listened to all of his videos that he did of his speeches. And he said, I'm barely even touching the tip of the iceberg compared to what I want to talk about and things that I want to get into and things that I want to express. I've seen pictures that were supposedly from him or somebody that show underground tunnels that are huge, that, okay, this is underground. This kind of more and more, this kind of lends credence to the fact that he said all the military bases are combined via underground tunnels and underground different things, you know, all these things. And it just, and the metals he had that were supposedly from other places. So it's one of those things that I've never heard one person try to discredit him. And when they found his body, he was basically had like piano cord, I think, like the wire that they use for the piano key wrapped around his throat, because when they found him, he was imploded because he had been dead for 4 days. And there are some people that said he committed suicide, but I believe, like a lot of people, that that was, the stuff was wrapped around him so tight that he could not have done that himself. So I just, I mean, if anyone hears this in the podcast and is interested, you need to look up Phil Schneider. He's on YouTube. There's tons of videos out. Look at him, and it makes you think twice. You know, he said in one of his things, you got to love yourself more than your country, and I do. And if I, you know, I'm a Marine, and they've tried to kill me, but they haven't got me yet, and I'm going to speak until they do get me in. Unfortunately, they finally got him before he was able to talk about a lot of the stuff he really wanted to talk about. But I'm going to get into one of the controversial subjects right now, and then I'm going to go back into some more about me. Is God versus religion? I mean, can they coexist? My belief is there's something out there. I've seen what I believe to be ghosts, spirits. I mean, I was at one of my friend's house. Their mom and dad were like a second mom and dad to me because my dad spent many years overseas, and we were in the back of their house. They lived out in the county, and they had a house, and across from it was a barn, and in front of the house towards the street was like a little horseshoe-shaped kind of, like a curved kind of barn where he had a tractor and an old car and stuff. And going back into the woods, me and my sister and a bunch of people were there, and walking by looked like Charles Ingalls and his wife from Little House on the Prairie. I mean, like, I've been to reenactment things where they do, you know, reenactment people from the time. And it kind of looked like them, but it looked like there was some Little House on the Prairie, and they just walked by, and I said, hey, and they just walked, and they got to a part of the edge of the woods, because there was a part of the woods where there was, like, an open area where there were no trees, and they went to where you would have still seen them, but they would have went in the woods, and they disappeared. And, you know, I never really second thought of those, but now that I think about it, I've seen some specials and stuff that it kind of relates. Oh, wow, that was something, like, I just kind of feel that I saw, like, a ghost or something. And, you know, and if you believe in God, you know, spirits and stuff are ghosts. And, you know, I've met lots of people that tell me that if you believe, like, I didn't talk about what I'm into, but they're like, yeah, these people don't believe in UFOs and aliens, you know, legal. That's just the devil trying to keep them from becoming, you know, one with the Lord and all this. And I just keep my mouth shut because, you know, I'm not going to argue with them. I'm not going to sit there and get into it with them. But it's just one of those things that I just don't agree with. I mean, my one girlfriend, she knew about one of my instances and stuff, just because of the fact that she wanted to know everything I did, everywhere I was, every minute. And I had to explain some stuff because I was gone for a while because of an instance. And she's like, well, the Bible doesn't say that God only created one civilization, one being. And I'm like, I can agree with that. You know, I've had a lot of people that say the Bible is the word. And it's like, if the Bible is the word, then why are there 20 different variations? You know? I mean, I know something's happened to me. I know they've taken me. I know they've done stuff to me. So I can't sit there. And I guess it's really shaken my beliefs because, you know, when you're brought up to believe in God and all this stuff, and then other things happen to you that contradict your belief, excuse me, where do you go? And what do you, you know, it's rocked my beliefs because, okay, well, I was brought up to believe in God. Now I have to change my views and my beliefs and say, wait a minute, okay, I can't explain this away. It's not like a, you know, I've seen dots in the sky that have done things that defy my knowledge of physics, and I could, you know, there's someone that could explain it away. There are people that have said, well, you give me any instance of a UFO and I can explain it away. I can tell you what it was. And I'm like, okay, well, explain away Frederick Reddick. Bring him, show me where is he. Is he in the Virgin Islands now just kicking it? And it was a whole hoax and he's just down there like there's people with the Bigfoot recently? You know? I mean, makes you wonder. I mean, like Project Blue Book, and I always joke about this, but I believe Project Blue Book was not the study of UFOs, but it was a book that they went to. Okay, well, they claim this UFO, let's go to Project Blue Book, page 16, and we'll give them, you had excuse number 16. It was two guys with a 50-foot frisbee. They were trying to get the world's Guinness Book of World's Record largest frisbee and get it in the air 10 feet in the air. That's the excuse you're going to give them for what they saw in the sky, you know? With Project Blue Book, it was kind of like they looked into the very sensitive issues with craft going over military bases that had nuclear weapons and nuclear stuff. And to me, Project Blue Book was another thing to try to cover up this alien viewing, because if you came out and said, okay, yes, aliens exist, we've had bodies and crafts from other worlds, where does God fit into that? Where does God, I mean, can they coexist? And there are a lot of prominent people say yes, and a lot of prominent people that say no. And I know something's out there, but I don't know what, because, I mean, it just makes you think, man. It really makes you think about your life, and okay, well, you know, if they said, okay, well, God cannot exist, would you just sit there and everyone just go, okay, we're just going to do whatever the heck we want because, you know, like my one friend said, like, going off of this one guy, I'd be going to hell. I'd be going to hell. But, you know, it's like, okay, well, now you got to sit there and take a step back. And if there is no religion, okay, there's no good versus evil because you can do whatever you want and there ain't no going to hell. You only, you know, so anyways, if anyone would like to call in, anyone, you can, the call-in number is 1-914-338-0566 is the calling number. And basically, I'm going to, my whole view on God versus religion is I believe in being a good person. And I think I do have a caller. It's a 691 area code, so I'm going to get him on the air and say hello. Hi, you're on the air. Hello?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Hi, this is Chris Augustine. I am the owner of AliensTheTruth.com.
Welcome to my show.
How you doing?
How you doing?
All right. I just wanted to call in and add a few comments about what you've most recently been talking about, the whole concept of God and aliens coexisting. And,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but the Vatican just released an official statement saying that the belief in extraterrestrial life does not contradict the faith of Christianity or, you know, any of the Bible or God's teachings. So they basically said it's okay to believe in aliens and still be a Christian. And
wow.
So, I mean, that's a pretty big statement coming from the Catholic Church.
Yeah, that is.
And the other part. Go ahead.
Amazing.
The other part of it, I mean, is I've run into a lot of criticism over the years, people saying similar things like UFOs are just the work of the devil, you know, things like that, trying to just blow holes in the whole
exactly.
belief. But the big thing for me is people are afraid of what they don't understand. And if you look at the UFO phenomenon, you're always going to get those people that, unless you sit a flying saucer down in their front lawn and let them go up and touch it, they're never going to believe you. And they're going to hold on to what gives them strength and what really matters to them, which and a lot of times is their religion. Now, I am personally not a member of any faith. I have faith in myself. I have faith in good deeds, but I do not follow any religion. I think religion has now become inherently evil due to political motives, and it's just been corrupted over the years, almost every religion. I'm not saying all. I'm just saying in general. But having personal faith, I think, is totally different. And,
exactly. And
a lot of these, you know, a lot of the biggest critics to the UFO phenomenon some of them tend to be very religious, where there's also no proof whatsoever aside from stories passed down for thousands of years that could easily have been changed, altered to, you know, fit whatever, you know, motive, but their entire belief structure is built on stories with no proof. So they're kind of hypocritical to say that there's no proof to the UFO phenomenon when there's way more sightings, videos, pictures, radar recordings of UFOs than there is pretty much anything from the Bible.
Yeah, I know. And that's one thing that gets me, is because so many people say, well, I believe in God, but they don't have proof of it, there's videos and there's missing time experiences, and they don't believe that, but they believe something that they have no proof of.
Right. Well, I mean, you can chalk that up to blind faith, but, you know, years ago, I was raised Catholic, then I started questioning everything and became an atheist. Then I took a whole bunch of religion and philosophy courses in college. I was close to having a minor in it, and I've pretty much come full circle, and now I'm a spiritual type person. Like I said, I don't believe in any set religion, but I believe in energy, and I believe in some type of interconnectedness with every being in the universe. Which is why I also investigate the paranormal. I've seen evidence of the paranormal, whether they're dead people, interdimensional beings, I don't know. I just know there's evidence for something, and it's worth investigating. But you know, like I said, I tend to have an open mind towards everything except for maybe Bigfoot, that whole little lovely hoax that was all over CNN and all that stuff. I've never really bought into that, but you know, I tend to have an open mind. And I don't waste my time arguing with the religious fanatics. It's just not going to get you anywhere. I've spent too much time debating with people that don't want to bother with the evidence because their mind's already made up.
Yeah. Well, I got another caller, so I'm going to bring him on too, so we can get a three-way. Hello, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just listening to the show, and I was basically just listening.
Right on, man.
Do you guys ever hear USOs?
No, I haven't.
I've definitely heard of them, yes.
I think
I have. You believe in USOs?
Well, I think, go ahead, Kyle. It's your show.
Oh, you can go ahead, man. You can answer.
I personally have not investigated many of them, but I know there have been a lot of cases, especially with the Navy, where they have reported seeing craft lighting up, you know, just huge amounts of sea, and these craft have been seen flying over the ocean, diving into the ocean, coming up from some of the deepest parts of it. So, you know, I'd say it's probably related to some of the other phenomenon. I can't say, you know, if it's any particular race or if it's, you know, one of our secret projects or what have you, but I definitely think there's something to it.
I believe there's something there. I just don't know what it is.
I would think that, you know, if I was from another world, it'd be pretty easy to hide in the water, you know, knowing that, you know, we can't go that far down.
Have you all seen the movie The Abyss?
Uh-huh, exactly. Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. I think it was made in the 80s, but it's an excellent, excellent movie. And it dealt with a similar concept that there were these beings living at the bottom of the ocean, well past anything that we could ever get to. So there'd be no way that we could even detect that they were there. So, I mean, if you've got the ability to travel through space, and you're right, I mean, if you wanted to hide somewhere where we, our prying eyes, couldn't observe what you're doing, the bottom of the ocean would be a great place.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. But they said that, I think it's either the moon or Mars, we have more mapped than we do our own oceans. So, I mean, there's so much of the vast ocean that we don't even have mapped or cataloged, so that'd be the easiest place for them to go.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, because I was watching a thing on the History Channel about that, you know, about UFOs and I don't know. Have you know if there's been any like recent sightings? I go on Google a lot and I try to type in recent sightings.
Yeah, I haven't read about any myself.
Neither have I. I mean, I kind of do what you do. I go on Google and stuff and see if there's any sightings, and I haven't really seen anything new.
I got a question. Like, I don't know if you could probably, like, why do you think that they go to like? How come cities really don't see them a lot? Why do you think that's? Is there any way you can explain that? Like, how come, like, so I live in Boston. How come, like, you never seen a UFO in Boston? It's always, like, you know, down south somewhere in another country.
Rural Louisiana with a couple hicks on the back of our truck drinking beer with shotguns on it.
Yeah, like, you know.
To back up a second, I think that the sightings are pretty much worldwide. It's just a matter of people reporting them. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I've given talks to different groups of people and asked questions like, you know, who here has seen a UFO? And you'll get about, you know, 20, 30 people, whatever, raise their hands. Then you ask the next question, like, well, out of the people that saw one, who reported it? And almost like 95% of the hands will go down. So I think a large part of it is people don't report what they're seeing. These things are seen. The other problem is being in a city, you're going to have a lot of lights, a lot of ambient light from the city itself. It makes seeing aerial phenomenon a lot more difficult. And, I mean, if you watch the news, there have been, I live in Philadelphia, and recently, for the past few months, we've had just a huge influx in sightings over one area outside of the city. And the news picked it up. They ran with it. It's been all in the different papers and such. But then as soon as they broadcast the story, the follow-up story the next day is, oh, we figured out what these were. They're these little Chinese lanterns that people are lighting for weddings and stuff like that. How can you misidentify these Chinese lanterns for gigantic triangular objects where people see the outline of the craft? Or, you know, spherical objects or silver, you know, things like that. It's like, yes, little orange glowing balls that are moving with the wind. Yeah, okay, they probably are Chinese lanterns, but not all that other stuff. So, but I think that's a long-winded answer of saying I think people do see them, they don't report them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to experience something I seen the other day. I was on my front porch, and I don't know, like, this probably could have been seen maybe a couple of states over because it was big. There was like a huge ball of something that just, like, it looked like something exploded in the sky. And it was huge. You guys know of any, like, any type of, like, there was, like, any type of moon thing going on or something recently? Because
we have a full moon, I think, or we did a couple of days ago.
Other than that,
I'm not aware of anything.
The only thing I'm aware of is there was a meteor shower. Like,
yeah, it was
like,
what was it, Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Tuesday. I think this might have been maybe Tuesday. No, this was last week, and it was, like, crazy.
Yeah.
It was a big, it was like, it looked like something blowing up in the sky, and it was just, like, you know, falling real slow.
Well, a lot of times, there, I mean, we have things like old satellites and such re-entering the atmosphere all the time. And I know as they get into our atmosphere, they will break up, just like, you know, small meteorites will. And they can, you know, pretty much explode and rain debris down. But one of the best things you can do is to go on MUFON's site, Mutual UFO Network, and you can search by date, state, city, type of craft, time report, I mean, everything.
Exactly.
And just check to see if there was anything in the area. Chances are someone else probably reported it. And, you know, at least you could get more information, even if it was something totally natural, like I said, like a satellite or something. At least people would have reported it. And they're going to be one of your best resources, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a great website.
So do you guys just do paranormal, like as in UFOs and ghosts and all that too?
I do personally, well, yes.
I do. I'm in UFOs just because of my own experience. I've not really looked into the spirit world, you know, like ghosts and stuff that much. So I've had a couple ghost experiences, haunting type experiences, but for the most part for me, it's just been trying to figure out the why me, why do they, what caused these missing time experiences and stuff like that. Just trying to get answers that I don't know ever.
Where did you experience these in your house?
My experience, and that's one of the biggest things, because I've seen specials with naysayers that, okay, well, if you've been abducted and you get that paralyzed feeling, that's because you're not really asleep and you're not really awake. And I'm like, okay, well, my experience was in my car when I was driving, and there's an hour and a half time missing, or 2 hours, or what have you, or I've been awake and I was in my driveway, and I saw that I was walking down the street one night. And I had to tell my girlfriend about this at the time, because my girlfriend was very, tried to be very controlling, and I saw that with her because no one's not with me. And I saw this look like a full moon, kind of, but a little bit smaller, and it was in the sky, to where I felt like I could throw a rock and hit this thing. And I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Well, was it a flying object?
It was just like a, it almost looked like if you were to make the moon a little bit smaller and bring it really, really close down to you. I'm like, what the hell? Must be an airplane, you know, and that's the big light in the front, the landing light, and it winks from, like, inside out, and I'm like, what the, okay, I don't see anything there, there's nothing there, but there was a big-ass dot there, big light, what the hell, and I'm walking, and I said, I'm just going home, and I went home, and as I'm going down my driveway, I remember looking at the Big Dipper, because I think it's one of the coolest constellations, you know, to see what I can see every time I look in the sky. And I remember just seeing a dot was disappearing and reappearing, moving across the sky, and I'm like, what the hell? And it just disappeared and reappeared, and it went from the left side of me to the right side, and when it got to the right side, it disappeared, and I'm like, okay, I kept looking to the right to see where it was going to reappear, and then I noticed the dot reappeared exactly where it originally started, all the way to the left. I'm like, what the F is going on? And I just weirded out, and I called my girl, and I'm like, you know, I'm down, pick me up, I'm going to go. And I just left, and I never sat there and called the police and said, hey, I saw a UFO, I saw this, and just left an odd feeling in my, I just, okay, that's weird. I mean, I guess I've had so many weird experiences that it's just like, okay, here's another one, you know.
I had experiences with ghosts, well, spirits.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys talk about that on here. There's a place called Penicuese Island in Cape Cod.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a detention home, detention like place, like a cabin out there. And there's like 9 students and 4-5 staff, I think. And experience I had was they have an outhouse. You guys know what an outhouse is?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
He hung up.
I think, yeah, I heard somebody say hang up the phone behind him. Hopefully he'll call back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gone on several ghost hunts in different locations. I've had experiences there as well. Just enough to pretty much tell me that there is something to it. I mean, I watch Sci-Fi's Ghost Hunters all the time and Ghost
mm-hmm.
Hunters International, so I'm into all of that as well. I like to branch out. I do like Area 51, crop circles, you name it. So I'm all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I love watching. I think it's haunting on the Discovery Channel where they go to houses and they do go into places. Like I worked at like my grandma's house. I believe was haunted. I believe like doors would shut when there's no windows even in the area. So. I mean, you would sit there being in the room, and you'd have to climb into, you'd have to walk into the room, grab the door handle, and shut the door, but the door just slammed shut, and there's no window or anything, and it was just, I believe it was my grandfather there, because it didn't seem evil, it just seemed like nice, you know?
Right.
It just would do funny things, it wasn't like out to try to harm you, but I guess
I've noticed a lot of people that have had either sightings and or abductions also tend to have paranormal experiences, or they tend to be a lot more open to them. So I think that they, you know, there's something to the phenomenon, and more on the human side, that if your mind is more open to one aspect of it, you're going to tend to be open to a lot more, and you might experience a lot more. At least that's what I've found.
Uh-huh. I've had that too. Like, people I've talked to, they're kind of in the same boat. Like, if they've had UFO experiences, even if they haven't had ghost experiences, they're inclined to believe because, hey, you know, if I believe in something as crazy as seeing a UFO being abducted, then seeing a ghost isn't that out there.
Right, right. I've had the complete opposite of people who are very inclined to believe in ghosts, but absolutely, without a doubt, do not believe in extraterrestrials or UFOs or anything like it. So I've seen the complete opposite.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. I just, you know, and I have debates with people all the time. I just try to look at it from a mathematical standpoint, that if there's life on this planet where, okay, you know, I'll give it, we've got oxygen, we've got water, you know, we have all the things that we, quote-unquote, think that life needs to exist, but we really don't know what else is out there. I mean, they said we would never find life at the bottom of the ocean. The pressure's too great. And guess what? We found it. And we would never find life deep in the Antarctic. And guess what? We found it. You know, life can exist in some of the most inhospitable conditions. So for us to say that what we have on this planet is the only place where there could be life is pretty closed-minded. And you can't blame us because that's all we know. That's all we've ever seen. But, you know, it could be totally different somewhere else, and life could easily exist. So that's why I just tell people, you know, it's mathematically impossible for not to exist elsewhere. It's just, you know, it'd be an awful waste of space for the entire universe if only planets just like Earth could harbor life.
Yeah, I know. And I've said that before to people. I'm like, well, it's mathematically impossible, you know, but it's like even though we even found evidence that back in the day, the North Pole poles were not ice, they were water. And they talk about, well, you know, the ice caps are melting and the North Pole poles are melting. I'm like, well, there was evidence thousands and thousands of years ago that they were not ice, they were water.
Right.
So, but it is kind of one-sided and closed-minded if you were to say, okay, life couldn't exist anywhere else. Only on a planet like Earth with water and oxygen and all this. I don't, that's just too closed-minded.
Yeah, a lot of times our scientific community tends to continue down the same path. They just keep retesting and retesting what they've already known. So new discoveries and innovations, won't happen. And that's why when people do things differently is when you make the breakthroughs, you know, by accidents, well, let's just totally change this and do it this way. And you find out something completely new. I mean, that's how we found a lot of the cures to diseases that we have. That's how we got a lot of inventions, like the microwave, I think, was just a side effect. I think they were testing different types of radiation, and I think the story was a guy had like a chocolate bar or something that was exposed to the radiation and it melted.
Awful.
And like, what's this about? And boom, we've got microwaves. So don't quote me on that. I'm not sure the actual story, but
basically happened. They were in a laboratory and they were testing different microwaves and radiation waves. And he had a candy bar in his pocket, and it ended up melting. And due to that, it was a war. They were going to use that for something with the war, and it turned out that it was able to melt chocolate. So they sat there, and they ended up using that, and it's now become the microwave over many years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, let's see what that. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's a. You know, you've got to try things differently, or, you know, you'll never make a breakthrough. You'll never make a new discovery.
And this is kind of off topic, but I kind of believe in that, like a cure isn't making you money. But if they can find a way that, okay, this will just relieve your symptoms, you'll have to keep buying this over and over, and it's going to make the pharmaceutical company money, where if they do this, which would be a cure, they're only going to make money one time. And I think that, you know, they do stuff the same. They don't try anything new because a cure doesn't make money. Treatments do.
Right, and I absolutely agree. I mean, it's a pretty bad viewpoint on our society that that, you know, saying that these companies only care about making money and not truly helping people. But then when you look at our resources and what we really can do, and the people who have money just happen to have the best treatment, the best, you know, medical care out there, and tend to not die from the things that the everyday people do. It just makes you wonder.
Yeah, it does. Just makes you wonder. But, you know, that I think that goes back to the one-sided, you know, okay, well, this is all about money, this is all we care about, and da-da-da, and, you know, if you've got money, you can do this and you can do that, but if you don't, you're screwed.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest problems that allows things like that to happen is just how our society, at least in America, how our society has changed over the years. And a lot of the UFO phenomenon, I like to track the differences in people's perceptions. Yeah, I wanted to touch on something you said earlier about the Project Blue Book and the government's effort, the military's effort to investigate these sightings during the 1940s and 50s. Our military personnel were told flat out, if you have a UFO experience that is significant, where you either lock onto it, you shoot at it, you know, you follow it, you track on a radar, all those types of things, do not report it to Blue Book. You report it through a totally separate agency. So our military was told not to put that information in there. And I personally believe, and I've read, you know, a lot of evidence supporting this, that the military is running Project Blue Book as pure smokescreen. They wanted the American people to have the mindset that, yes, there are strange things flying around in our sky, but the military's got it covered. They're investigating it. Yep. It's nothing to worry about.
Exactly.
And over 12,000 sightings were reported and investigated by Project Blue Book. 701 of them remained unexplained, even when the project was shut down in 1969. And they said that they didn't find anything that warranted further study. And I personally find that to be, I mean, that's just flat out wrong. I mean, there were plenty of things that were of interest. I mean, if you read on the internet about different cases where UFOs were seen flying over nuclear missile silos and actually disabling nuclear weapons, you know, while they were hovering above, that's a major threat to national security, the fact that we lost control of nuclear arsenals at military bases. Yet their official statement is they pose no threat to national security. To me, that's it just doesn't make any sense.
And I've heard people say that, oh, well, maybe there's no photographs. So the two people that claim they saw this and this happened, you know, so many people just try to explain those things away. And it's like, okay, when you have actual, you know, the Freedom of Information Act records that say that on this day in 1967, all these manned missile silos, the nuclear weapons were inactive and taken out of commission by something, and they were all individually set up so that if something happened to this missile, it didn't affect any of the others, but all of them went out and no one can explain it, but they just say, no, it's nothing. It's just, you know, they try to just put sand over it and push it to the side. And it just, I don't know, it just doesn't.
No,
I mean, like, one point I'm going to bring up is, like, they say, like, you cannot take a photo of Area 51. You cannot take anything, photos, pictures, video of Area 51, because that violates national security. But if you watch any of the evening news or any of the CNNs or anything, they will show you how easy it is to contaminate the food and water supply and potentially kill millions of people. But that doesn't violate national security. They'll show you how easy it is on the evening news to get onto an airplane maintenance hangar and to sabotage commercial airliners that will kill hundreds and hundreds of people, but that's not violating national security. And to me, that would be just as big a threat to my security and my safety as Area 51 would be, but they don't care about, you know, the potential to kill millions of people with food.
I think, Area 51 in itself is something it's interesting, to say the least. They never originally, they wouldn't even admit that they had a facility there. It wasn't until, I believe, early to mid-90s they admitted that they had a base there. And, I mean, I've talked to public affair officers who said flat out that it's completely top secret. They can't discuss anything that goes on there, but they are at least admitting that they have something there. But to back up a bit, I mean, if you, I just finished reading, and I usually don't promote things, but I just finished reading a new book, The Roswell Legacy, by Jesse Marcel Jr., who's the son of Major Jesse Marcel, who was the first officer on scene at the Roswell crash. He actually brought some of the flying saucers debris back to his house. So, I mean, he actually touched his stuff. But he talks about in his new book, which comes out next month, how he was contacted by government officials in the 90s who were investigating this black government, this secret government within our own government that is running things, who are like, and it's known that black budget operations is what funds Area 51 and Ellis Air Force Range. They're doing all the development and testing. It's a totally separate branch of the government that does not have to answer to the taxpayers, does not have to disclose the work that they're doing. They run in complete secrecy. And he was contacted by a government agent that was tasked with investigating this secret branch. And he was told flat out his retelling of the Roswell events were pretty much the truth. And that says a lot, because it says that the weather balloon story was a cover-up, that something out of this world was truly recovered and taken back to military facilities. I mean, that just pretty much backs up every conspiracy theory about Roswell that's ever been discussed. But he got that from a government official saying that, yes, guess what, you're right. You're on the money. We're trying to figure this out for ourselves as well. And one of the biggest questions about people, and when you ask about government cover-ups and UFOs and how could they lie about all of this for so long, it's simple. No one knows about it.
Yeah.
This is so big, and as Stanton Friedman says, it's a cosmic Watergate. The people who are involved in this are truly at the top of the top. They're the people who are pulling the strings, who dictate what our media presents for us and everything like that, where they control what we see. And if they don't want people to know about it, people aren't going to know about it, to the point that our elected officials, our governing body, does not know what's going on. Remember, every president has to sign a document that keeps all of Area 51's operations classified. And I know Bush renewed it, I think, both times that he was elected, so did Clinton. I mean, this has been renewed, and it continues to be renewed. So everything that goes on there is kept a secret, but he probably doesn't even know it. But, I mean, And this is the type of thing that's going on. That's how a cover-up can take place for so many years, because it's just so secretive. Our own government doesn't know what this agency is doing. And he got direct first, testimony from a government agent saying this. So, I mean, that's pretty incredible, and I highly recommend the book when it comes out. It was a very good read.
I definitely want to get that, because, I mean, I've spent many years investigating Roswell and talking to people, and one of the biggest things I got before the stuff you talked about was Junior himself saying that my dad would have never woken us up at 1:30 in the morning or 1 o'clock to show us a freaking weather balloon. He woke us up because he was going to show us something that, and I've never seen any, I've held the material, and I've never held anything like it to this day. I've never seen anything like it. And I just don't know. It just saddens me when all these people try to cover it up and try to do this and say it was this or that. Or,
and he talks about all of that in the book. I mean, he goes into in depth in describing the material, how it could not have been a balloon because there were absolutely no electronics, anything like vacuum tubes or any of the type of technology that was common for weather balloons and these radar targets. Nothing was found in the Roswell crash site that even closely resembled that. And all the debris that he brought home, nothing looked like it. So, I mean, it's one of the things that I hate to debate with people, because the people that, I mean, this is going back to what I wanted to say and forgot, is that people do not want to think for themselves. They will just accept what's given to them without questioning it. And I bring it up all the time, and I get a lot of criticism for this. But one thing that truly pisses me off is that our history books still teach that JFK was killed by one guy with one rifle who was a communist, where all the evidence speaks for the complete opposite. Multiple gunmen, huge cover-up, possibly government agencies involved. It was not a single man, single rifle. The bullet theory, magic bullet, just doesn't work. But our history books still teach that. And people accept it. People don't question it. Every November 23rd, I bring it up to people. I say, oh, you know, today's the anniversary of JFK being assassinated, and I'll say, you know, I hate that Oswald was blamed for something he had nothing to do with. And people are like, what? Right. Of course he did it. I'm like, no, do your homework. He had nothing to do with it. He was a fall guy. Okay. I mean, but people will take what they're given at face value and not question it. It used to be different. The 60s and 70s, it was different. But now it's just like, oh, okay, the government says so, I have to believe it.
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of like, well, they said it's what a bloomer has to be. You know, why would they lie to us?
Absolutely. And if you look at the history, when the Roswell crash happened, we had just finished World War II. You know, we needed every bit of bolstering our ego as a country. We needed the support. We had to feel good about America. And when it's like, okay, you can't question your government. It's the government. You have to have respect for them, everything. Our nation's pride, you know, was just being built back up. It wasn't until later, the 60s and the 70s, where people started challenging that authority again and questioning what they're being told and what they're being told to do. And now we've come completely around. We're back to just accepting things blindly. But I think it's things like Blog Talk Radio, it's things like the Internet that is bringing this curtain down. This information curtain is that they can't hide the truth for much longer. People have the power. People are putting sighting videos, pictures, everything, experiences on the Internet, and they can't stop it. So I honestly think the Internet's going to be the death of the UFO conspiracy.
Yep, I agree, because, like, you can put stuff on there that's hard to, you know, like if you're on CBS Evening News or one of those or any one of those, they can kind of, okay, we're not going to air this. This is too hard to explain. We're not going to do this. But on a website, you can talk about that stuff, and it's going to bring the conspiracy down.
Absolutely. There's entire websites. If you haven't heard of disclose.tv, it's an entire website just like YouTube that's dedicated to things out of the mainstream, like UFOs and Area 51 and paranormal and crop circles, alternative energy, you know, everything. It's dedicated to that.
Yep.
So I just think, and, you know, on your point about the news, I've recently spoken with a few people who were journalists who have had abduction experiences their entire lives and worked for the news as reporters, as journalists, and were told at one point, one of them was investigating UFO sightings in the 70s. They were open to it. But the other woman I worked with, I can't give either of their names, but the other woman said flat out, the editors and everyone, they would tell them to drop the stories, don't cover it. They have no time for that kind of crap. But, I mean, it just, I don't watch the news personally because I think they show us what they want us to see.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, that's why I watch a lot of the British broadcasting news on the Internet because they talk about other things and you can get other perspectives, and it's amazing to see, okay, well, here's the same topic, but this is a totally different viewpoint.
Absolutely. I mean, everything that we see is propaganda for our own initiatives. And I absolutely love, that's a great point. I love watching the BBC because they'll air the same type of story about what's going on in Iraq or what's going on here or there. And it won't have that American spin with it. It won't be geared towards motivating us to do something. It'll be more realistic, more, you know, here's the real information. It's not being spun. And I have a lot of respect for that.
Well, I have 90 seconds left on my show. My name is Kyle, and I'm talking about Unexplained, Taken by Me. I got Chris Augustine on the phone. He has a website called AlienInstitute.com. We're just talking about abduction phenomenon, aliens, cover-ups, all kinds of stuff. So I hope there's anything else you want to say before we go.
Not really. I just appreciate the interest. And I'm on pretty much every instant message service you can think of. I just don't really check the Yahoo one much, and I think my work blocks it. So that's why I really didn't get back to you. But, I definitely appreciate you're doing the show. I used to run my own. I just don't have the time and resources to put in to do a show every week. It's hard enough doing a newsletter to about 1,500 people or so every week. But it's good that you're out there doing this.
I know, man. Yeah, I just got the courage after I saw your couple shows that are new or old that I said I got to do my own and just come out and keep it going. So I just I'm into and I'm passionate about, and I'm probably going to keep doing shows. And so I'm definitely going to get that book when it comes out and I'm going to read it.
Well, that's great. I wish you all the luck, and I have to get back to my stuff here. So it was good talking to you.
All right. Take care, bud.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.